Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in count is called White Electric Mirror, and it is the third day of the Yellow Warrior Wave Spell, and it is Resonant Moon Day 17. So let's start with a resonant moon for a change. We're in the third week in the West. My favorite. It's one of my things. And so the resonant moon has been in our focal viewpoint for all of these 17 days. But when we hit day 15, two things happen. We started the second half of the natural time year, which is a 13 moon year, 13 months of 28 days long that make 364 days, and that is the Mayan year and many historic indigenous year counts, dividing time not obviously into the Gregorian mayhem of 30 and 31 and 28 here, this arrhythmic system that we have embraced in all of Western civilization and imposed on many other places where people were tracking time more evenly, fluidly, rhythmically, and in accordance with the female menstrual cycle, actually, as well as the lunation, the moon's cycle itself, but that heavily influences women's bodies, and that connection point was the determination of a calendar. And so we embrace that in natural time because we're returning to nature and things that are not artificial. And we just crossed over into the second half of the year on Friday. And that's always true. It's always going to be that day, which is the 24th of January, is always the midpoint of the year. And then every time we're in a 28-day moon, we are dividing it into four quadrants that represent the different directions on the Mayan medicine wheel. So we have the east is red, and then the north is white, and the west is blue, and the yellow south is the final station. And everything in natural time is moving in this counterclockwise place of reverence for the four aspects of existence and the qualities that are held in each direction. And you'll see that, of course, when we track through the days, red, white, blue, yellow. When we track through wave spells, they're always red, white, blue, yellow. There's such a thing called a spiral, originally called a castle, which is a set of four wave spells, a quartet, and they go red, white, blue, yellow. And what else? The years go red, white, blue, yellow. And it's really precious that there is that stability or constancy. And so we also have divided or accorded each week of the 28-day month moon to the four directions. So the first week is always in the east, and the second is in the north, and then here we are in the third week in the west, and then we'll finish in the south. And there's no name, really, that you need to ascribe to the weeks. I mean, they're called things like the red eastern week of initiation, the white northern week of purification. Sometimes it's called crossing. Then the blue western week of transformation and the yellow southern week of ripening. But mostly you can just do what I do. Red, white, blue, yellow. It's the blue week in the West. And what happens in the West is we enter the dream time. What happens in the West is we are dealing with the element of water. And water is fluid and water is emotional. It's the place of the emotions or feelings. People talk about body, mind, spirit. Body, mind, spirit. Body, mind, spirit. And there's something missing. There's a gap. And that is not the totality of existence, because what's missing is the feeling state or emotions. And that's represented by the West. So the way that we can see body, mind, spirit, and emotions playing out in natural time is that we start with the mind in the East, then we move to spirit in the North, then we have emotions or feelings in the West, and then our body is the South. The blue Western week of every moon has I think, increased intensity and a purpose of really pushing us through after a couple of weeks of preparedness. We are initiating something. We get the idea in our mind. We pass it through a purification process where it enters the spirit world. Our spirit is touched, and there are spirits, i.e. all the divine figureheads that we either have reverence toward or, we just feel it as a really aerated place that's got some sacred qualities of blessing. And we can make prayers when we're in the northern week pretty effectively. Just prayers to be open, prayers to be receptive, not prayers for an outcome. And then in the blue week, we kind of ride. We ride the churn of feelings. We, face a kind of burning, which means that, things are ignited. That's what it means. It doesn't mean a catastrophe. It just means like suddenly things move more quickly. And they have a mystical element, because when we're in the nighttime or the dream time, we can't just rely on pure logic, because our eyes don't operate to have night vision. So we find ourselves like having less direct control of our environment, to be in abeyance to grander themes of darkness, to be in the dark, sort of stumbling around and feeling or finding our way, to be entranced by the night sky and beholden to it, the star systems. And all of that, I think, is just a place of less control, less logic. And then we pass through this time and come out the other side, where everything can slip into embodiment or manifestation. We can physicalize it. It's what happens in the South, is that whatever the teaching was of the particular moon we're in has maybe something that we can touch that's tangible, that has emerged. It doesn't mean that it's a physical, object. It just means like, okay, I solidly understand what I was learning in the resonant moon. I talk about it so that you can position yourself to pay attention, but I can't really talk about it so much like, wow, this blue Western week is really teaching me everything I need to know about resonance. Although the minute I say that, I come up with an example that shows me that it is doing that, and I'll give you that. I'll offer that up. So I'm pretty intuitive. I call myself a clairvoyant. I had the training. It was really rigorous. It wasn't any kind of like dumbass joke. It was a couple of years of peeling back all the layers of logic and restricted thinking so that I could be accessing my intuition freely. And it was like a boot camp. And at the other side, I have this musculature that we're all capable of, where I just trust my intuition a lot and can, read energy or feel subtle energy pretty easily. And maybe that's always been true. I've had a predilection, or maybe it was just a choice that I made to like commit and cultivate that. So I find resonance, which is why I have a website called Resonant Truth. I find it pretty, it's just part of my lifestyle. But in this resonant moon, I have had to amplify trust and let go of the oversight of my ego to understand that, it really is possible and probable in the resonant tone, whether it's the moon or a day or a year, that we have to trust our intuition, because this is the time when we're informed by it, when we're open to it. And yeah, so I have places that I doubt and am skeptical, and it comes from a form of protection, which I'll talk about more when we address this yellow warrior wave spell. But you know, you can protect your heart from certain beliefs, because you don't want to make assumptions that they're true and then have your heart battered. Let's see, how would I say that differently? So when we believe something intuitively and it allows us to feel safe or to feel love, and then logic comes in and goes, you're being ridiculous, it's not true and you're not safe, then it's hard to respond or respect the intuitive ideas that arise. But I am having this journey, especially here in the Western week, where another part of my life where I find it hard to give over and trust and believe and to not manipulate through my preformed thoughts and assumptions and fears. I'm just having another opportunity to let go and go, you know what, I think it's much better to not be afraid. And so that's happening for me, and I don't know that I needed to actually divulge all that, because I'm not being very specific, because I don't like being specific on podcasts anymore. If you were here in the beginning, I was very, very confessional, and then I had to take a break, because I think there's beauty in raw material, but we're here to learn and teach and receive teachings, maybe some that I've found over time, but mostly things that are just coming up in the moment that might be of value to you. And my belief is, like, some greater entity enters the airwaves and talks through me, but, you know, through my personality, my unique personality, so that we all, including me, are having little awakenings that are pertinent to this present moment in the Mayan cosmology. So thanks for being part of the amphitheater of that. I think that the last little treatise on the resonant moon was absolutely seated in the qualities and concepts of our yellow warrior wave spell. So let's talk about that, because it's been intense, and I knew it would be. I recall this from other times, but I felt it really acutely because my white dog wave spell, which is two wave spells ago, was such a giant lifting of my heart, opening. I think after enough years of Trump and all that entails or involves here in the United States, you know, it's been very hard to feel heart open, freedom. Like, there's a protection that is just insists upon existing, because it's like being in a war zone. But whatever happened in the white dog wave spell for me really cracked the code and gave me liberty to feel devotional love and love for others. Devotional love, maybe to me, is for a spirit form, an energy field, but love for others, which can be devotional, feels like just excitement, like a tail wagging dog, like, oh, they're here, this is great. And then we went into Blue Night, the wave spell, and there's just all of this, what I've been talking about, this ability to be illogical and intuitive, the predominance of intuition and trust in the altered states of the dream time as it enters our daylight experience. And then comes Yellow Warrior. But I want to contextualize Yellow Warrior. Yellow Warrior absolutely has felt to me ever since Blue Cosmic Eagle, which was the sort of bridge day, the final day of Blue Night, the wave spell, and the entry passage through to awakening in Yellow Magnetic Warrior, the beginning of the Yellow Warrior wave spell. I've felt this cautionary energy field of, you know, you can't just trust what is. Your heart can't be open. Things are scary. There is danger. And I became defensive. And I think that is the root of yellow warrior, feeling like a conflict when we fight, when we battle, and it's from our lower selves, meaning a sort of survivalistic view of the battle, it's because we're defending ourselves. It's not an offensive time, Yellow Warrior. It can be offensive because our defense structures can be very rude and invasive and assaultive and harmful and hurtful. But mostly people, I think, the personality, the ego is constructing a way to, in theory, keep oneself safe. So from the beginning there of Blue Cosmic Eagle transitioning to Yellow Magnet Warrior, I became someone who was really defensive. And believe me, I know that stance. I am a blue overtone storm. So when I'm defensive, I have a very powerful rage, and I can clear the room with my volatility or, you know, dark expressions, my mood. And that's not what's happening. I just sort of want to clarify that, because I have that history and then I have had this sort of white dog influx, I recognize that I'm using my go-tos of defending myself with anger or, let's say, disapproval. You know, a situation is happening that I don't care for. I feel it's invasive or harmful to me. And my whole embodiment, my stance, my facial expressions, how my jaw is set, is on guard and intolerant, because not only is intolerance a way to keep space around oneself against the perceived enemy, but it's also important if a martial warrior is to get ready to engage in battle, they need focus. And so I'm intolerant of anything that's keeping me from that preparedness, that readiness to defend myself. So it's been really uncomfortable, and it's been a drag. I have all these little tics in my language that come from my Midwestern father. I mean, lots of people say a drag, but my dad's been saying it for 50 years, drag, and I think that's how it feels in the Yellow Warrior time. It's just like, it's heavy. It's a little unstable in the sense that fluid love and devotion is very, very wide open, unending. It's like entering, you know, a pink cloud realm, part of the sunrise or sunset. And to be in Yellow Warrior is to be kind of fixed, encamped, hunkered down and behind the shield. I'll emphasize for you that even though you can't tell, because I use so many ideas and all this language, that I'm almost always rooted in the hieroglyph that was given to us originally by the Maya. So that's the way I'm extremely traditional. The dream spell hieroglyphs that were developed by Jose Arguelles and some Japanese designers will do. You can look at them. I like them very much. And so you can see the details in there. But the most important thing, right, about the Yellow Warrior wave spell is that it's the picture of a shield. And on the shield, someone has depicted this, what they call the cosmic question mark, colloquially in natural time. But, you know, it is a version of the same shape that is on the hieroglyph of Red Earth. And so what I think it represents is that when one is a warrior, one has all the force that exists in our planet, and that the Red Earth parallel is a picture of an earthquake. And so when I have this shield up in the Yellow Warrior time, I'm as powerful as seismic activity, and that's what I'm going to go and do. I'm going to go bust open a battlefield with my incredible, vital, dominant power surge. So those are the two, to me, clinical ways of looking at the Yellow Warrior time, that you're going to have a shield up. You're going to have what I call an exoskeleton, because we don't, you know, we have some ribs that are around our heart, but they're very delicate, and spatially they leave a lot of room for danger to enter our heart. But when we have a shield, we're like an insect with an encasement, and we're protected. And yet, you know, we're not going to feel this flow of our heart or heart chakra pulsing with others nearly the same way. So if you were in love with someone because white dog cultivated that, and you would travel through blue night and feel sort of the sacred co-adventure of being in a dream time experience of that same love, and then you come to Yellow Warrior, I think it can feel like it's over or interfered with, or suddenly it's just, it's not as magical, it's not puppy love. Maybe we would call it like the first fight in a dating scenario. And you have to weather that. I'm here to lead the charge because I wanted a podcast on day one. Like, I just want to articulate that this is really an awful feeling. It was in Yellow Magnetic Warrior. It just felt both humbling, like I'm hobbled, and sort of humiliating. Like, was I insane to love? Are these feelings of love just child's play? Is this more real? Am I just an idiot? And, you know, that's, again, a warrior's not going to have time to, like, really embrace a little puppy and be, you know, kindred with animals and soften themselves, because it's really important to be focused and aware and prepared. So I'm finding that by white electric mirror, things are modulating, and red lunar earth, which was a portal day on Saturday, was helpful because, you know, by about 9 at night, I suddenly saw that lunar pivot. So the magnetic day, we attract our purpose for the whole wave spell, but on the lunar day, we identify our challenge. And I think it's really important to understand that the lunar day is not just a secondary bludgeoning of what's hard. It's a delineation of what's hard, but you also discover what isn't hard, what isn't just going to be an experience of suffering. What's the strength that guides this suffering to increased self-awareness or harmony? And so in red lunar earth, again, because we're in the resonant moon, and I'm thinking, as I was trying to explain about, you know, can I trust my intuition? Even in the Yellow Warrior wave spell, can I feel that it's safe to love, for example? I found on red lunar earth, like I said, later in the evening, I just got that glimpse, like, yeah, Yellow Warrior is a time where we are charged up, pretty masculine energy archetypally, and it has a purpose. The purpose is to be brave, to be able to be fearless, because we are protected and we can penetrate situations that would be harmful if we weren't. And I'll try to get to that in other podcasts, you know, just like, okay, so it's the Yellow Warrior time. What are you in war over? What are you defending? Where are you making your best attack into a bastion of life experience where there is evil? You know, you're trying to overcome something that's harmful and dark. And we'll explore that next time. But for now, since we're mostly in the transition, please notice that, you know, you're still a soft-hearted person behind your shield. And all the loving experience that led up to this moment is real. And it will return. And it's okay. I mean, this is the whole reason that I follow the Zolk'ins so reverently, is that we get to have every life experience, and that way we live in balance. Natural time, the moniker to me, is a return to a balanced form of human nature where we don't avoid certain uncomfortable experiences and try to have preference for always being happy, warm, fuzzy, but we are willing to enter each wave spell, and all 20 of them have an important developmental significance and experiences to offer, and we move through this cycle of life. And if we do it bravely and coherently, like consciously, then we can see what it's like for a human being to be balanced psychologically, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. So we need the Yellow Warrior time to learn how we are as fighters and to enter a fight that's meaningful for this 260-day passage. You know, within the 260 larger Zolk'in cycle, this is the fight And the time of fighting, that is predetermined in some way. It's our fate or karma, and we're in it. I have had unconscious Yellow Warrior wave spells where I'm just bitchy, angry, volatile, embattling. But each time I come back to it, I feel like I'm more enlightened or accepting of the teaching. That's what enlightenment would mean, you know, where you succumb early to what is. But I also am looking kind of at my schedule for this week and realizing, you know, it's very likely that there are people around me who are not, you know, following the calendar. And also, I don't mean like they're not enlightened, but I am. But, you know, there are all these levels, and I'm afraid that, you know, I'll be in battle with people that are just, you know, geared up to battle now. They're not modulating it or placing it within the cycle of life. They're just going to be angry and even abusive, potentially. I have some things that I have to deal with where I'm like, oh, it's such a bummer that it's the Yellow Warrior wave spell that I have to encounter this bureaucratic tangle when everyone's wanting to be at war. And let me just say quickly, you know, I operate under the belief system that the Mayan teachings and the Dzogchen affect everybody on Earth. That is probably, arguably false, but it is how I organize my humanity, my karmic incarnation, that I'm just comfortable saying. It doesn't mean that they need to consciously talk about this or follow it, but my perception allows me to believe that the Mayan teaching is like an incredible cosmic vapor exists on the planet, that they were phenomenal spiritualists, that they have received no credit historically, but that doesn't mean they don't deserve it. And that as the ascended Maya, they have oversight still, and they tend the flames, the fires of this spiritual path. And so those of us that like it and tune into it get to, I don't mean we perceive things that others don't perceive, but we're allowed to perceive all of life through this lens. There's no limitation. Like, just look at your own life and maybe California, but don't expect China to be falling into the, the timeline of the Dzogchen cycles. But I look more widely at the world and its adventures and its horrors, because I'm so interested in how anyone, animals, humans, dogs, monkeys, stars, I'm interested in how any of it is affected by, influenced by, and also becomes like a character in the performance of the natural time synchronistic experience. Does that make sense? It's like life is theatrically oriented to the Dzogchen, the 13 moon year, and I want to witness all the parts, all the players, the scenery, you know, the lighting. I'm paying attention to every detail and seeing it in the context of this amazing performance, art and spirit performance. So that's a little bit of a diatribe. Thanks. So quickly, very quickly, like in a minute or less, coming up, White Electric Mirror. This is sort of like talk about sacrifice. How can I best be of service in the Yellow Warrior wave spell? I can allow that my heart might get cut out, that sacrifice is an avenue that takes us closer to the spirit world, which is very sacred, very expansive and free. And then Blue Self-Existing Storm. Monday's a blue storm day. I don't mean that narcissistically, but lots of things will be stormy, a storm front, attempting to clear the skies and bring back the light so you can see how charged things feel or look or act globally, personally, locally on Monday. And then we have Tuesday, yellow overtone sun, which is empowered and radiant through enlightenment, through life, coming to yellow sun as a place of super empowerment, strength, fortification. It's a lovely day. I love it. It's my exact analog. We all have an exact support day. You should know your exact Mayan cosmology so you can hit those days. You can always ask me for a reading. I can be slow to respond, but I'm really available and I can help you find your detailed Mayan cosmology so you can celebrate yourself and situate yourself within the calendar cycles. Then I'll be back on Wednesday, which will be Red Rhythmic Dragon, beginning yet another column of 20 tribes, 20 days in the Dzogchen. And even though it's far in the future, then we have White Resonant Wind, which is presaging a white wind wave spell to come. So I guess heads up for the Blue Storm Day in the Western week of the Resonant Moon. Could be epic. I'm Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, In La Cache.